Welcome to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
Oh, man. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the NXT Podcast. I am your host. My name is Zachary Smith. I am excited to be here with you for one of these here bad NXT 2.0 episodes. Seems like I'm saying that a lot more now that it's 2.0, huh? And listen, a couple things. If you are enjoying NXT 2.0, I do not begrudge you. I don't like to judge people for the things that they like. I'll make jokes about it, but overall, if you are happy watching it every week, I want you to keep watching it and enjoying it. Understand that what I'm doing here is comedy. I do think this is a very bad wrestling show, but just because I host a podcast about it doesn't mean I'm an authority on it. Now, from some podcasts, you won't necessarily hear that. But also, I want you to know, no matter what I'm saying on here about, you know, this bad show, I am always having a lot of fun talking about it. So that is always going to be the case. So, before we get started, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at ZachNXT, at ZachNXT. Always talking wrestling and other fun stuff over there. Follow me over there. Maybe some exciting stuff coming up in the future here. And that'll be the first place you will see it. Usually talk about the news and the notes, what's going on in WWE. We aren't talking about WWE specifically today, but I do feel like it's important for you to know that Ric Flair has a podcast now. He used to have Woo Nation, which was, I forget if it was the first podcast Conrad had, and then Rick walked away from it, and then everything that happened with the Dark Side of the Ring, Rick decided this would be a great time to release a podcast. And apparently Rick was right, because on the U.S. rankings for wrestling, his podcast is number one, which is awesome. And I looked at his tweet promoting it, and nothing but positive comments, so that's very cool. The top five goes Ric Flair's Woo Nation Uncensored, great name. Second is Talk is Jericho. Third is Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Four is Busted Open, and five is Stories with Briscoe and Bradshaw. And over at ZachNXT, I tweeted that I hate this list. I really do. And I reserve that word hate for special circumstances. And understand, before I say this, the unofficial WWE podcast, I don't know what we are ranked, nor is that the be-all, end-all for me. Nor is any of this because they are ranked above us. That has nothing to do with it. If all five of these podcasts were great people, I'd have no problem with it. Ric Flair being number one is obvious. Ric Flair seems like a bad guy who knows that his fans don't care and are just going to write it off the same way Tommy Dreamer did and just say, oh, he was just a playboy. He wasn't. He was a predator. And I personally, I don't know about you, I have a lot of trouble separating art from artist. So I can't, you know, comfortably watch, say, a Chris Benoit match. And I'm not saying those two things are the same at all, but I had to stop watching old wrestling tapes like NWA stuff with Ric Flair. I was having a lot of fun watching it, and Dark Side of the Ring came out, and I can't. Not because I'm on some kind of moral high ground or anything, but I think if somebody's a predator, I can enjoy their work. And if you can, more power to you, but if it were up to me, this would not be the first podcast. Talk is Jericho, I will listen to on occasion when he has a Jon Moxley or a recently released talent. Something to that effect. Does seem worth noting that his wife was at the Capitol riots, tweets a bunch of questionable stuff. He had a little bit of All Lives Matter stuff, and all of his promos that involve him talking about a woman, seem somewhere from inappropriate to sexist. He's doing promos the way that he did them, like, in the 90s against Stephanie McMahon, and I didn't like them then either. I think that that is a crutch that a certain type of guy uses because they know that it will work, and I just think we should probably be better. And I know people say, oh, so we have to watch what we say all the time now? Yes. Yeah, especially, like, a white dude who historically has had free reign to kind of say whatever they want and treat people however they want. The consequence of that is that we have to, like, think before we speak. That's for everybody. And if you have to take an extra few seconds to contemplate how something is going to make somebody feel, I don't feel bad for you. That's not people being snowflakes. That's people wanting you to have enough respect for them to not go out of your way to hurt their feelings. And that's not being soft or a snowflake or a safe space. That's human decency. Something to wrestle. I don't have a particular beef with Conrad. Is a good host. He created something of an empire over there, both with mortgages and with wrestling podcasts. I had to stop listening to Something to Wrestle With because Bruce now works ridiculous hours now that he's back with WWE, and before that, you would, especially now, you're getting much more of Vince McMahon through Bruce Pritchard. And I'm not particularly interested in hearing the WWE side of WWE stories. I'm more interested in the truth. Busted Open. Dave LaGreca seems fun, but Bully Ray, Mark Henry, and Tommy Dreamer are on the front. Tommy Dreamer's an obvious one. The only guy out there defending Ric Flair on that Dark Side of the Ring deal. Horrible, outdated views. Mark Henry and Bully Ray are big on these guys in the back aren't tough anymore, and a bunch of outdated old school stuff. And Bully Ray sometimes comes off to me like somebody that is trying very hard to stay in his gimmick of Bully Ray, and no matter what is going to find a reason why the old school was better than the new school. And that's fine. It's just grating to listen to all of the time. And that kind of personality is very grating in general. I don't know of anything bad with Briscoe, but boy, do I ever with John Bradshaw Layfield. Humongous bully, general bad guy. He was fun on commentary, but please don't ever let that distract you from the fact that he was a humongous bully. Doing goose stepping in Germany on live events. A lot of bad stuff with him. I am never going to tell you what you should and should not consume. It is your free time and sometimes your money, but certainly your time, which is a form of currency. And if you want to listen to any and all of those podcasts, I do not begrudge you. If you think all of those podcasts are better than any of the podcasts we do here, I would disagree with you, but I respect your opinion. But it does make me sad when a team like ours here at the Unofficial WWE Podcast, or any other wrestling podcast, or any podcast for that matter, tries to just be good people, take people's, you know, feelings into consideration, and then the ones that that blow up are people that, just as people, I do not agree with anything about them. And that makes me a little sad, and that's okay. But let's talk about happier stuff. So, Mimi, Ashley, and I did the AEW Full Gear preview. So on the same feed you're listening to this episode, go ahead and scroll down and you will find that one. We went probably 2 hours and change. It was a lot of fun. And on that show, we talked about the main event of Kenny Omega defending the AEW title against Hangman Page. And Ashley and I both said that it would be funny if Kenny won, and then I think Dynamite is in Hangman's hometown, because the reaction to Kenny still being the champion in Hangman's hometown would have been funny. And I stand by that joke, but I did not take the opportunity to give props to how fantastic this story has been. I went back on YouTube. I urge you to do the same. And there's a few people that have put up all the clips of Hangman on Being the Elite, their YouTube show, where it tells a lot of the story of Hangman leaving the Elite and drinking problems and coming back. And watching that, really, it made me emotional, because seeing the fantastic match they had at Full Gear and Hangman winning the title, he is an anxious, depressed dude who does not feel like he's good enough. And boy, I am exactly the same. He has like a little bit, he feels like a fraud. He doesn't measure up. Check, check. And to see him win the title was just really magical. It's one of my favorite title wins I've ever seen in the history of wrestling, and I've seen a lot, and a lot of good ones, and this is very high on the list for me. So I just wanted to give that out. Go back, watch those Being the Elite compilations. Just put in probably Being the Elite Hangman Page story. I bet it would get you what you're looking for. And then go back and watch that main event. And props to Kenny Omega. He's been wrestling injured for I don't know how long. I hope he takes some time off. And I'm excited for Hangman Page and Bryan Danielson. But enough about that really good wrestling show. Let's talk about NXT 2.0. We're starting with Tony D'Angelo. The announcers say that he may have crossed the line with his opponent's wife last week. That's Indy Hartwell. Or Indy Bloomis, I guess now. Awesome, dude. Awesome reason for a story and a fight. As you know, women are things that you can cross lines with. They are not people. They are merely story beats. His opponent, of course, is Dexter Lumis. I do wonder how this whole The Way thing will work if Johnny and Candace leave for AEW when their contracts are up, and like, why wouldn't they? Johnny and Candace are both fantastic wrestlers. Candace is pregnant at the moment, so she's not going to be able to wrestle, but once she's back, like, they're always going to have a spot here in NXT because they're funny and they're really good, but they could be doing so much more, and they could be more serious and still keep some of that comedy. Why wouldn't they go to AEW? It's a little bit like, I wasn't sure about Adam Cole going. I thought Pete Dunne would stay. I know in my heart Kevin Owens is going. And I feel like Johnny and Candace, whenever their contracts are up, will go. Dexter uncovers a painting of Tony that he made. It's Tony in a bed under the sea, cuddling a fish while fish are around him. Get it? He's going to sleep with the fishes. This man defending his wife against this jerk lasts 3 minutes before Trick Williams and Carmelo come out to attack Lumis. Nice, dude. 3 minutes is plenty. If we aren't going to let men and women settle issues in the ring and give them more than 3 minutes, then what is the point of anybody having a problem with anybody? Tony passes a chair. They put Dexter's arm in that chair, and Carmelo jumps, I think it was from the second rope, onto the chair. Probably broke his hand, so on and so forth. Johnny shows up too late, clears the ring. Not sure what took him so long. On the way out, Trick Williams rips the painting that Dexter Lumis made. Back from break, we replay the attack on Lumis. I imagine this is to set up Carmelo and Johnny, I reckon. Johnny is in the ring. He's in a mood. He says, "You have now made things very personal. Originally, I just wanted to beat you for your title to prove I'm better than you. But now, you screwed with the wrong guy's son-in-law. If you mess with my family, I kick your teeth down your throat. Now, Carmelo, I know you're still here, so come out here and meet me face to face." Pete Dunne is out instead, because main roster producers are here now, so we're going to handle this like the main roster, and we're going to do, I think Mimi calls them promo trains, where somebody's out there, and then somebody else interrupts, and then somebody else interrupts. So, Pete Dunne interrupts. Pete doesn't really have a crew anymore. Oney Lorcan's been released. Don't know about Danny Burch. Pat McAfee's on SmackDown. Really feels like we could have done something with that group. Feels like they could have been better than Diamond Mine, for example. We'll get to them later. So Pete Dunne by himself says, "Don't you walk out here and worm your way into a title match." He says, "I pinned Carmelo Hayes last week." Johnny says, "Yeah, with my help." Pete says, "Cheers, mate. Tell you what." And he's interrupted by Carmelo Hayes, again with Trick Williams. They're on like a different part of the stage, like behind Johnny. Bad comedy ensues, blah, 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 blah. Carmelo Hayes says he's the leader of the new school. Pete Dunne interrupts. This is funny. And says, I'm the same age as you with 10 years of experience more than you. And I have a win over you. And those were all great points. I forget how young Pete Dunne is. Pete Dunne is very, very, very young and has had a lot of experience and could really be doing more. But I forget if he re-signed with WWE or if it's expected that he will, but that's too bad. Because he's not 6'5 and, like, ripped, so Vince won't like him. At some point, he'll get bored of him. It's what he does. Carmelo proposes, Pete, you and me can run it back. Johnny, you can get your title shot too. Same time. It'll be a triple threat match. Nailed it. So next week, triple threat match for the North American title. And Carmelo goes to say, when Melo shoots and he holds the mic up because the crowd is supposed to say, he don't miss. But like four people do it, which is cool. Johnny says, I've been here for 5 years. You can ask anybody. I am can't miss in this ring. That is true. That is very true. So, next week, me, Pete Dunne, Carmelo Hayes, triple threat match. Trust me, you don't want to miss that. Maybe they'll even get 8 minutes for that triple threat match. I know that I'm doing this thing now where I'm telling you how long all of these matches are. And I don't mean it to be snarky or as like a running bit. I mean it to illustrate that having matches go 5, 6, 7 minutes every time lessens the effect of statements like that. Because in the old NXT, if you told me that Johnny was going to say, me, Pete Dunne, and Carmelo Hayes in a triple threat match, trust me, you don't want to miss that. I would believe him because I know they're going to get a bunch of time. It's probably going to be the main event. They're going to get a lot of time to tell their story, and it's going to be a fantastic match. In NXT 2.0, the show is the same length of time, but it's now just a worse main roster show. And so when he says, trust me, you don't want to miss this, I don't doubt that they are all going to perform very well, but I have no faith whatsoever that they're going to get like the 15 minutes that this triple threat championship match should get. At best, I bet you they get 10 to 12 minutes. Which is not enough time for a Pete Dunne, Carmelo Hayes, and Johnny Gargano match. That is a main or semi-main event at one of the old takeovers with like 15, 20 minutes. So when you say you don't want to miss that, I can no longer believe him because now I know that it's going to be shorter than it needs to be. It makes me sad for all these guys because I know they won't get enough time to tell a good story or as good of a story as they could. Whatever. We got stuff to do. Cameron Grimes outplayed Duke Hudson at poker a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to be honest, every time it came up, I skipped it because it's dumb. But tonight, there's a poker showdown in the ring, so I can't do what I've been doing and pretend it hasn't been happening. I can pretend Diamond Mine isn't happening because they're back in their locker room and they're all training. Because they don't do anything interesting or important. And understand, when I say that, I don't mean Malcolm Bivens or Roderick Strong specifically. I don't mean the Creed brothers, the woman's name that I forget. When I say that Diamond Mine is boring and doesn't do anything important, none of the people in this group are boring. They're all very, very talented on their own or as a group. It's the presentation of them. It's the fact that the biggest thing that they've done is won the Cruiserweight title. And it's the fact that they feel directionless as a stable. And they don't feel threatening as a stable. They do, like, some bad comedy. When I say bad comedy, I mean badly written. And the most serious matches that they have are Cruiserweight title matches, which have never meant anything outside of the tournaments. Or when Drake Maverick had to try and win it to win his job back. And the Creed brothers eventually will get a tag title shot, but I don't know when that's going to be. So Diamond Mine as a whole is not even like heat. It's not bad guy stuff. It's boring because I know they're not going anywhere and maybe they will, but it doesn't feel like they will. They hype up their leader, Roderick Strong, but it's just Roderick Strong who's just Cruiserweight champion. It's just Roderick Strong who was just better in the Undisputed Era and then quit and then came back in Diamond Mine. So he just came back with a worse gimmick because he's not the same smarmy heel he was. He's just like a strong, silent type. And he's in a worse group that's not as accomplished. And I understand that takes time, but I'm fairly confident that Diamond Mine will not be remembered as fondly as Undisputed Era. So that's cool. So they're talking, and Joe Gacy walks into their locker room. He doesn't ever say anything. They just use buzzwords that WWE thinks is funny because, oh, this will really get the snowflakes. And it does get me because he's always saying good things. He's saying, like, oh, it's a safe space, and, you know, all my snowflakes are safe with me. Those aren't bad things. Those are inclusive and considerate. But WWE thinks it's very heelish or bad guy-ish to say things like that. And I've said this before, but I think that tells you a lot about the people writing. And the part that actually makes me mad is that this Joe Gacy character could have been so, so good. He could have been not the Fiend, because that's kind of the vibe I was getting at first. Not the Fiend, but somebody who is almost too genuine with his wanting to help people, and you can presume from that, because he is so concerned about safe spaces, that once upon a time he was a really bad dude and now he's reformed. But then you could have had the opportunity to have that slip in sometimes. Maybe he doesn't want to fight, but when he does, somebody hits him, he loses it, and he's very over-the-top violent. And you can have this inauthentically nice and considerate person. He could be one of those people that sometimes you meet that they are very friendly, outwardly presenting, but you can tell there's nothing good behind their eyes. You feel like something's off. And Joe Gacy has that, but they're not capitalizing on it. Anyway, Joe Gacy might join Diamond Mine. I don't know, man. You don't care. I don't care. LA Knight vignette. He is so talented, and he's done nothing but lose since that million-dollar title feud. And Cameron Grimes is just playing poker, so that story felt pointless and like it was years ago. Really seems like both of those guys were going to be kicked up a level after that feud because the crowd is really into it, and you have managed to make Cameron Grimes much less popular and managed to make LA Knight look like a loser when he looks like $1 million and talks and wrestles and has an incredible physique. I don't understand, man. I didn't understand it with EC3 either. Sometimes WWE just doesn't like you. I don't know. I'm sure one day when he's not in the company anymore, one of the executives will tell us he had an attitude problem, because it's got to be the talent's fault every time, right? So, LA Knight feels like he's the uncrowned NXT champ after 2.0 Night 1. I'll remind you, that's the night that he lost twice in one night. Let's see. I forget who he wrestled. Was it Joe Gacy? I don't remember. Also, you know, it doesn't matter. Oh, no, it was Bron Breakker. Got it. He loses to Bron Breakker. And then in the main event for the NXT title, Ciampa pins him to win the NXT title. So the guy who lost twice in one night, including an NXT title match, feels like he's the uncrowned champ. Listen, I understand he's a bad guy. I get it. It's fine. We are still doing LA Knight and Waller. Very cool. At least they'll get a match. I bet that one gets 4 minutes. Back from break. Now Diamond Mine's in the ring for a 6-man tag match. Looks like it's going to be Roddy and the Creed brothers. Their opponents first are Jacket Time. Great, dude. Their theme song is catchy, but it feels racially insensitive, which is a word I use a lot because I don't always want to say that it's racist, because I don't know if it's all the way racist, but I do know it's insensitive. And I do know this is a ridiculous gimmick, and I do know these two are so much more talented than this awful comedy going nowhere gimmick that they have. But whatever. Their tag partner is Odyssey Jones, who feels forgotten about since 2.0 came. I don't even remember if we saw him before last week. This 6-man tag gets a minute per man, about 6 minutes. Nice, dude. So Team Jacket Time wins after Odyssey Jones picks up the win for his team. Clearly that helped everyone. Grizzled Young Veterans are in the back. They're FaceTiming their Nan. They tell her that they're the new NXT tag champs. And then they say, oh, we got a lot of new responsibilities now, Nan, we got to go. And they say, for sure, that'll get us written into the inheritance. And then one of the grizzled young veterans says, all right, now all we got to do is go give these belts back to Toxic Attraction. When I saw them holding tag belts, it really confused me because I could have sworn it was Imperium. And then I realized it was the setup to the joke if we have to return the belts to Toxic Attraction. That was funny. I'm not mad at that. So that's good. Poker Showdown is next. Really happy about that. Raquel's in the back being interviewed. Her and Dakota Kai are main eventing tonight. Maybe don't keep having Raquel just do straight promos or interviews. Like, give her a manager or a mouthpiece or find a new way to do it. Maybe just vignettes. Maybe she's the strong, silent type. Because it's not her strength, and I don't begrudge her that. Some people just aren't natural promos. She isn't a natural promo. The worst thing you can do for somebody who's not a natural promo is keep putting them in situations where you will only look good if you are a natural promo. Blah, blah, blah. She's mad at Dakota. You get it. She does say that Dakota needs to bring her shovel tonight because she's going to bury her with it. Now, follow me here. If Raquel finds a patch of dirt in the arena, let's just assume she does, and she knocks out Dakota, uses Dakota's shovel to dig a makeshift grave for Dakota. She throws Dakota in there. She throws the shovel in there because she's going to bury her with it. What are you going to put the dirt on her with? Are you going to push it with your hands? You're going to look ridiculous. It's going to take forever. You'd have to bring your own shovel, and I doubt you thought that far ahead. You don't wear a helmet when you ride your motorcycle. You definitely didn't bring your own shovel. So now it's going to take like an extra 10 minutes to manually with your hands push dirt onto a grave. That's dumb. They are in the ring for the Texas Hold'em game. Listen, I don't know how to play Texas Hold'em, but I do know it has enough rules that your announcer has to take forever to explain them, and I sure did skip them. It took about 7 minutes for Duke Cousin to lose for bluff, and then he attacks Cameron Grimes for a while. So that got longer than the six-man tag match. Very good idea that was. So Cameron Grimes and Duke Cousin will have a match. Duke Cousin should probably win, but this is NXT 2.0. I can't call anything. Ciampa's making his entrance. Real quick, there's a commercial that first has a guy who's walking in an arena with the Lombardi Trophy for the NFL, and he says, "My work has been seen by millions." There's a rapper in the studio with a platinum plaque behind him and says, "My work has gone platinum." And then it cuts to a guy in a FedEx uniform. So far it's been, "My work has been seen by millions." Cuts to the rapper, "My work has gone platinum." Cuts to the guy, says, "I work at FedEx." And that was sad. Did y'all mean for that to be sad? Because it was a FedEx commercial, and you can't go, "My work's been seen by millions. My work's been seen by, or my work's gone platinum. I work at FedEx." Like, if you work at FedEx, more power to you, but one of these things is not like the other. And I don't think you guys meant for it to be sad. I don't know. Anyway, Ciampa's here to talk about Grayson Waller for some reason. Also goes to talk about Tony D'Angelo, but gets cut off by Bron Breakker. You remember him. He's the one that lost to Tommaso Ciampa and shouldn't be out here. Bron looks and carries himself like a star. He doesn't look out of place at all in the ring with Ciampa. Bron says, "You can't stand that there's a new crop of talent here. That means nothing to me. The only thing you need to worry about is me. I will run through you and I will take that NXT title." That same NXT title he just lost to Tommaso Ciampa for. Ciampa says, "Wow, that was powerful. I'm pretty sure there's some place around here where there's a guy sitting in a truck that can pull up some footage from Halloween Havoc." They do, in fact, play the footage of Bron Breakker losing. Ciampa says, "The way I see it, you've got less than 33 1/3% chance of ever taking this title from me." That's an excellent reference to the Steiner Math promo. If you have not watched, you need to go to YouTube right this second, type in Steiner Math, and it will be the promo. It's the most insane promo you might have ever seen. And that was a good callback. That was fun. Ciampa says, "At the end of the day, you can bark all you want, but you're just a puppy, and I'm the NXT champion." Ciampa walks off. Bron doesn't do anything. Ciampa was absolutely right. Bron, I think, yells that he's in Ciampa's head. He is not. Ciampa beat him in the middle of the ring. Why would he sweat him at all? Whatever. It's Like, have Braun beat him for the title or have Braun go into a different feud. Don't have Braun lose and then be like, oh, he proved a lot here, he answered a lot of questions, and then just run back the feud. Like, even if Braun were to face Ciampa next and then beat him, like, what was the point of having Ciampa win that one? What are we doing, you know? They say that Loomis was taken to a local medical facility because we don't do hospitals here. Back from break, Raquel's out for the main event. This very personal match between two former best friends and comrades, and one, you know, literally stabbing the other, well, not literally, figuratively stabbing one in the back with a shovel, gets about 7 minutes before Toxic Attraction comes out, and I think Raquel wins by disqualification. They're only focusing on Raquel. Dakota helps them. Until Cora Jade comes in, she takes out Gigi Dolin and JC Jane with her mini skateboard that doesn't seem like it would hurt very much. She's eventually taken out by Mandy. For some reason, Zoe Stark comes out on crutches. Glad to see she's here. Io Shirai comes out, and Zoe, in fact, hands her one of the crutches, and Io helps them clean house. Are we doing, like, a women's War Games match with these women? Because that would be really good. They might even get 9 minutes for that. At some point, I don't know if we're doing takeovers anymore, if we're just going to do specials, or what we're doing. I do know I don't care, because I know they won't get enough time to tell the stories in the way that they will need to. So, you know, what's the point? Anyway, I don't feel like we accomplished a ton on this episode. The men's tag division, kind of nothing. Toxic Attraction came out to set up what I hope is their War Games match, because they are all very talented, and I think that would be a lot of fun. Diamond Mind and Jacket Time, I don't know if that's going to be a War Games. That seems not good. Ciampa, I have no idea if we're just running it back with Braun Breaker, but if you're going to run it back, Braun better beat him. Otherwise, he's just a two-time loser, and then he really will have answered all the questions. Next week, Carmelo Hayes is defending that North American title against Johnny Gargano and Pete Dunne. That should be a fantastic match, and literally, it just depends on if they give them enough time or not. The people making the decisions care about everything in wrestling except the wrestling, which is difficult because that's the second part of your story. You're giving me a beginning and a middle, but you're not giving me the end when you don't give them enough time to, you know, settle with a wrestling match. But we don't do wrestling here, pal. We make movies, but even movies have fights that last a while. Whatever. Anyway, one more time. On Twitter, I'm at ZachNXT, at ZachNXT. You can hear me here every week to talk about NXT. Every once in a while, I jump over and invade Mimi's podcast, sometimes with Ashley, sometimes just with me. Go listen to Ashley's podcast, Kick Ash Pod, K-I-C-K-A-S-H. That's everywhere you find this one. She is really, really good, and when she predicts something, she's right a lot of the time. Check out Mimi Burris. She hosts the AEW show on the same feed. Matt's hosting our mailbag, and Rob's. We have a lot of good hosts over here, man. Really, you can't go wrong with any of them. So that is it for NXT. That's it for me. Hit me up on Twitter. Let me know what you thought of this episode. Let me know what you think of, I imagine, what the War Games card is going to be. You think it's going to be any good? You excited to see any matches? Or we just kind of killing time till Vince gets bored of NXT and walks away? I don't know. Let me know over on Twitter at ZachNXT. In the meantime, that's it for NXT. That's it for me. I have been Zachary Smith. You have been fantastic as always, and thank you for listening.